نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد بعد الجود والكرم. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلي الفضل والله. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلي وصحبه وبارك وسلم. أما
Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. We are grateful to Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah most high, has today on this night of Jummah again to us. He has given us the ability, He has given us the opportunity that again we are for a very high grade and high status action we are gathered. Such an action this is that we are gathered for, about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in the Quran has stated it is a very great action indeed. In other words, all the amal we know, actions Allah has granted to us, that He has given to us, this action compared to all of those is greatest. Rather, the Mufassirin, the commentators have written when they explain this point that this action, this amal for which we are sat here today, for which we are gathered today, this amal is the ruh, the soul of all other actions, all amal, deeds, worship, salah, fasting, hajj, zakah, tilawat, reciting Quran, umrah, hajj, all of them, the ruh, the soul, is dhikrullah. Remembrance of Allah is the spirit, you could say, the spirit, the ruh, and the inner strength. And afzal, Allah said it's the greatest deed. Allah has defined dhikr, yes, not due to thawab, not due to reward, that there will be lots of reward for doing dhikr. Obviously, if it's the greatest deed, then obviously the thawab is great anyway. However, apart from this action, there are many other amal that have high grade reward. So the reason that this is greatest deed, the purpose, the reason is that this amal, this action of dhikrullah, it stops us from such a thing, and it helps us in stopping from such a thing that which is most dangerous of all. Allah Ta'ala's, to get to Allah's nearness, the thing that stops us, the biggest restriction, you could say, or hurdle to get to Allah's nearness, the biggest challenge and hurdle to implement Allah Ta'ala's orders is this. Yes, and there's a force that takes us to deviation if we don't do this action. So in other words, dragging us towards hell, it is this force that drags us towards Jahannam. And until that individual has that force within him or influencing him, then he cannot enter into paradise. That's how dangerous that force is. And that force, dhikrullah, helps us against that force. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put the quality and the power in His dhikr, in His remembrance. And if this point, if somebody understands this point, then in this world and the hereafter, he becomes successful, that individual who understands this point. And those who don't understand this point, and it doesn't sit in their brains, that dhikr, why is it important, and then they can never attain the benefit from dhikrullah. And what is that thing that's most dangerous, that force that takes us away from dhikr? And it's a very dangerous force that cannot be controlled in any way or form. Only and only dhikrullah, Allah's remembrance, can control that force. And we have that force with us. And then if we have that force against us, we need to grab the solution. If we don't have that force, even then we have to do the dhikr of Allah. What is that force, my brothers? What is that element about which Allah Ta'ala stated in the Quran, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا فَاهِشَ مَا ظَهْرَ مِنْ بَطَنُ. Allah says, it's so dangerous. Allah hasn't told us or just prohibited. Allah said, don't go near to it, so that somehow it will take you towards loss. And what is that? The sin of the human being. Fahisha. Ma dhahara, Allah says, that externally sins are present in a human being's life, and also batin, internally there are sins as well. In other words, sin is such a dangerous force that if the human being doesn't get the release from sin, the force of sin, he can never be successful, that human being. In other words, the sin will never leave that person. Even if the sin is outside and it's inside as well. It's external. Externally as well, sins are committed by a human being. And internally also a human being commits the sins. Externally, zahiri sins. And within, internally, the sins are even more dangerous. More dangerous. So this is a beautiful point we need to understand, that the human being, if he learns this fact that I, as an individual, I'm at loss, and if he understands that, then the human being, he saves himself from that force of sin. And that's the purpose of life. That is the principle of life normally when we live in the world, that if you realize something is dangerous for you, then you don't get near that thing, do you? You try to protect yourself from that danger in the world. Yes, so sin, those who sin, there are different categories of sinful people. When a human being commits a sin, then he doesn't consider it a sin. He doesn't define it as a sin. He doesn't see any loss in it for him. That human being who doesn't consider it a sin, define the action as a sin, then how will he save himself from it? And if you don't save yourself from a sin, then that person's a waste. He's wasting his time. His life is a waste. His hereafter is a waste. All of his actions in life are a waste. If he doesn't consider or define his actions as sin, all his sins, whatever, all his actions of life are all a waste of time. All of his life's a waste of time if he's immersed in sin. So dhikrullah, Allah's remembrance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us the meaning of the hadith that Allah mentions in the hadith, that his dhikr, his remembrance, it has power. Dhikr has power and it has an impact, it has an effect. So much nur and light Allah has put in his dhikr that his remembrance, it gets rid of shaitan. Dhikrullah gets rid of shaitan. Dhikrullah gives the human being the power to fight shaitan. To fight shaitan. So it's lazim, essential, beyond essential. In every place in the Quran has mentioned his dhikr, his remembrance. And Allah said kathir, high quantity, abundance. Because you must do dhikr in high quantity, because sins are surrounding you in high quantity. So you must oppose them. And those who take this fact seriously, advice seriously from Allah, and they and those who don't consider it seriously, and they then can never be saved from the sin, those people. How can a person be saved from sin? There's only one treatment Allah has given, that's dhikrullah that can save you. Dhikr, Allah's remembrance, is such a force, an action that saves a person from committing the sins. Now, When a person does dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah, and he wants to be saved or leave the sins, then dhikrullah has an effect on that person. It has an effect on that person. How does that individual then get saved from sin? How does he protect himself from sin? How does he get away from sin? That he makes more effort in dhikrullah. He starts to do dhikr. He makes more effort in his dhikr. And he's got defects, he's got sins inside, he grabs hold of Allah's dhikr, remembrance. automatically inside the remembrance of Allah, it will develop within that person the force that slowly, slowly, gradually, that power will develop within him, that capacity, that ability through stages. Remember, just like I'm talking to you now, some people will say, okay, I'll start doing dhikr. And after 2 weeks they come and say, I'm doing dhikr but I can't leave the sins. After two weeks we're doing dhikr, we can't leave the sins. What's happening? Sin and dhikr, the meaning of dhikr in reality is what? Dhikr Allah, the definition of dhikr is effort, working hard. Allah Ta'ala has said that the effort for leaving the sins, Allah has given in the form of dhikr of Allah. So dhikrullah is effort. You're working hard. You're making an effort. You're trying. That I don't want sins to come. So when a person starts to make effort, then don't get scared or put off. If the sins aren't being reduced, don't worry. Don't worry about it. When the individual takes a step towards something, embarks on a process, this is the sunnah of Allah. Allah's, according to Allah Ta'ala's order and instruction and advice, you start doing an action. For example, a person says, okay, so the way to leave sin is dhikr. He says, okay, that's fine. So I'll start doing remembrance of Allah, dhikr of Allah. That's it. So your effort has started now of doing Allah's dhikr, His remembrance. And we've grabbed hold of that path, we've taken that path which will take us away from sins. Save us from sins. Now the effect will come into that person. Might take 30 years to eliminate sin. Might take 40 years. Death might come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated that in that condition, if you come back to me, Sa'im mashkura, Allah says, that is better for you. That is good for me as well. Allah says that I want my servant to come like this. Because he tried, he made effort, and he carried on in that effort until death. And Allah didn't say success. Allah says just keep trying. Keep trying. Don't, doesn't matter if you don't get to the conclusion. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when that individual who does dhikrullah, he has no need to be scared or anxiety due to, or get frustrated with his sins. For this reason, when he's doing dhikr of Allah, it means that he wants to leave the sins. Then automatically the work, the effect that the dhikr will have onto you, will rub off onto you. Alhamdulillah, it will assist you, your dhikr. And fully it will assist you. That for example, if you have a defect, you're immersed in a fault, then first the dhikr will make you feel that this is a sin. This is wrong. To have that awareness and recognition that something is a sin, even that is a massive success. In this day and age, people come and say, where is it written? Who said that is a sin? Tell me, prove to me. I live in this day and age. And they start arguing with the Quran. People, today, human being, common man, he argues, no, how can this be a sin? Who said this is a sin? Where is it written this is a sin? Oh, this is a minor. It runs in the world today. How can you say that we can't do this? Understand what I'm saying? So this position of human being, if he has that mindset, he can never leave the sins. He will never leave the sins. But if he starts dhikr whilst he's in that condition, alhamdulillah, then he will move the stages. Then first and foremost, the thing that will develop inside him, he will start to consider that sin as a sin. He hasn't left that sin yet. He hasn't left it, but he accepts that cutting the beard is a sin. And another person say, well, why is cutting the beard a sin? Everyone in the world is cutting the beard. Why are you telling me not to do this? But when he starts dhikr of Allah, alhamdulillah, then praise be to Allah, after starting dhikr, he develops that awareness, nayyar, it is a sin, but I'm doing it, but I accept it. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? So this is a fantastic stage, even to get to that stage, that is developed by doing dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah, to create the awareness of. And when a person suddenly gives up, oh, I can't leave the sins, I'm doing dhikr, I remember Allah, but I can't leave this sin. No, don't worry about it. Don't worry. The first success you've already attained, the basic success, that you have started to accept the definition of sin and you want to leave the sin. That person who didn't consider a sin before, at least minimum by doing dhikr Allah, it's given you that awareness that this equals sin. X, Y, Z is a sin. Understand what I'm saying? And if you die in that state even, then Allah Ta'ala will forgive that person that you started the effort and at least you accepted this action as a sin, but you were trying and you departed the world and came back to me. Allah says, okay, I'll forgive you. I'll forgive you. So that's the great achievement of dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. If we didn't do dhikr and there are sins in our life and we weren't doing dhikr of Allah and all the actions you do and the sins in your life then you're just wasting all of your deeds. You know, like you have the insect that eats away at cloth and skin and stuff like that. I'll give you the example of a pious friend of Allah. He put his vessel underneath the tap to fill it with the water for wudu, and after a while he looked in the vessel and it's not full, and the water is not filling the vessel. He said, "What's going on here?" And he looked and he picked up his lota, the vessel, underneath there was a hole, and on the top the water's going and underneath it's leaking. The water's leaking. You understand the example? So how can you then fix that problem? Allah Ta'ala has given us, La tuqtulu amwalakum, Allah says, "Oh people of iman, why do you waste your deeds?" Even though you're committing the deeds, you do the sins and you're making your deeds get burnt away. So first and foremost, first control the sins. Leak, that hole, fix the leak. So the ability Allah has given you to do good actions, you're not wasting them down the drain. You understand what I'm saying? Always shaitan puts you off, deviates you. Oh, do good deeds, pious deeds, and then he makes you do more sins after that. Puts you into that pretense. Oh, what's the difference? I'm praying salah. It doesn't matter if I commit sin. I'm praying salah. Oh, I'm doing pious deeds at the same time. Doesn't make a difference. Oh, this sin Allah will forgive me. Despite the fact that he's on the flip side of his mindset ideology, that he's wasting his good deeds with that sin. What he should have done, if Allah gave you the ability to do a good action, pious action, then protect that action, seal it. Seal that action. The one good deed is a massive wealth. Like say today, Isha Salah, Allah gave us the ability, we came and prayed Isha Salah. This is a massive, massive treasure Allah has given to us. That nobody can imagine that treasure Allah gave to us. That Isha Salah, Allah called us to his home, the masjid, we stood in front of Allah. And a few rakah, Salah, Allah gave us ability, whatever condition of life we're in. Is this not a treasure? Praying Isha Salah, all of the wealth of the world put on one side and put the value of Isha Salah on one side, it will surpass that. You can give all the kingdoms of the world, leadership of the world, wealth of the world for this Isha Salah. Allah say that's nothing compared to this Isha Salah. Nothing. So such a big treasure is coming to our life, Isha Salah. So should we not protect that wealth Allah has given to us? A little bit of money comes in our pocket, we put it in the bank. Why are you putting the money in the bank, bro? Oh, I don't want a thief to steal my money. I've got too much money at home. I don't want him to loot my treasure. So you put your money, 10,000 or 5,000, put it in the bank, quickly, put it in the bank. So this is such a great treasure Allah has given to us. One reward, example I'm giving to you. One salah I'm talking about. So what a great wealth this is, treasure. A treasure. And we'll learn this in the hereafter. Those who don't have this wealth of salah, they'll realize, what will they do? Where will they go in the darkness of the hereafter? What will be their circumstance in the hereafter? Allah hasn't hidden this. Allah has explained these scenes in the Quran. Explained in full detail. Those individuals Allah has mentioned, those will be at loss. Yes, just a few days of life left. We'll see this. We'll see all of this. We'll witness these scenes. So the reason, the meaning of what I'm saying is when we practice deeds, then we waste and destroy our deeds. So if somebody has started dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah, and he does dhikr in parallel and he's practicing good deeds at the same time, then alhamdulillah, he's got a good balance sheet running forward. Good balance sheet. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes? So I'm feeling so happy, alhamdulillah, in our condition right now. I'm so happy at the moment discussing this point. So much happiness that alhamdulillah, if I had not met my Shaykh Hazrat Sahib, respected my respected Shaykh, I would have been drowned in sins. I didn't even know what was dhikrullah. I didn't know the value of dhikrullah before I met my Shaykh, my teacher. What a great, rich, wealthy person my Shaykh Hazrat Sahib made me wealthy. From that time until now, all my deeds, I'm protecting my deeds, I'm sealing my deeds, I'm wrapping my deeds. I'm not something special. Yes, I've got sins, many sins. But by doing dhikr, I'm protecting myself, I am protecting my amal, my deeds. Yes, and I'm not letting them drop. I keep it at that level because Allah's promised. Allah's promised. So what I'm saying, at least minimum, the individual, doesn't matter what condition of life he's in, at least start doing dhikrullah. At least remember Allah. And now should you start doing dhikrullah? No, don't do dhikr that you like to do. This is a great worship, massive high level ibadah, dhikrullah. But we don't take it seriously. Rather, all of our deen, religion hereafter is hinged on dhikrullah. Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't say it's the greatest deed for some other reason. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu, what a great sahabi. companion. Somebody asked him, "Oh, Hazrat Uthman, radiallahu anhu, that you were very close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are a great companion, sahabi. There's good news about you. You are forgiven. Even today, if you go in Jannatul Baqi, you see his blessed grave is separate. And it's a unique high glory he had. And everyone, mashallah, in such a platform where Hazrat Uthman's blessed grave is, you will have seen that, mashallah, alhamdulillah." So, he asked him, he said, "You're asking me a weird question. Have you not read the Quran?" He said, "Yes, I read the Quran." He said, "Have you not read in the Quran, 'Wala dhikrullahi akbar'? Allah said this. That Allah says, whoever understands this word, whoever understands this point, then he will never be at loss after that. Never. But people, if the penny doesn't drop in their minds, that why do we do dhikr? What are the benefits of dhikrullah? Dhikr is the complete deen of Islam. Dhikrullah is the complete deen. It's not some minor hadith, this hadith, the meaning of this hadith I will explain to you now. Allah Ta'ala will ask on the day of judgment, it will be asked to that person who stood there, Allah will ask him, "Tell me, who are those people who are deserved of honor? Who are those people, the respected, honorable people? Where are they?" You know, Nabi said today, "Who are the respected people of society? Please come forward, those honorable people, come to the front, come to the front." Respected people, and some guy stands up. Yeah? And he stands, people, they think they're going to respect, though, some musician or scientist. "Oh, please, please, you come forward, you sit here on this seat. You're respected and honorable, you've reached in your life. Think about it, on the day of resurrection, who will be recognized? Who will recognize anyone? Being naked there, no clothes, sweating under the sun, heat, and sweat up to our necks, up to our heads, people drowning, and anxiety. And who will call out? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call out there. There's not some minor gathering we're talking about here. Understand the hadith. Understand the hadith. And there Allah will ask to the all of mankind, Allah will say, "Oh people, how are you? How are you today?" Some man will be in this state, somebody will be in this state. And 50,000 years, this scene. And the 50,000 years of the hereafter years. Not 50,000 years of planet Earth. 50,000 years of the hereafter. My Hazrat Sahib used to take a cool deep breath and say, "Babu, there'll be big challenges to come, my colleagues." Unique scene. That was when my Hazrat Sahib used to say that when these words would come out of my blessed mouth of my Sheikh, so much pain we'd feel. Hazrat Sahib would say, "My brothers, right now, in the future, big, big challenges are to come. Right now, there's nothing in our life as a challenge. And we are sleep in the laziness today. What a big test is about to come in the hereafter. That me and you will be laying in our graves and the angels will have surrounded us. And the friends of Allah, imagine, may Allah allow that the angels come to us, the good angels who treat us nicely, bring the attire of Jannah, bring good fragrance and perfume to us in the grave. Let's pray for that." We have that desire, don't we? So then work a bit for that in this life, in this world. Make some effort. What a big time that's to come. The first time that will come when we pass away. What's that? That all of us will put our hands up. Hands up. Give up. Allah, we can't do nothing. We're useless. And there'll be a person laying there after death. And he'll be alive. And for the world, he gave his life in this world. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. We'll be alive. And thereafter, he knows everything. He's conscious. Just like today, those things in the hereafter are hidden from us that are present there. We can't see them. Then what will happen? That there will be a flip situation. Then we will see the hereafter and this world will disappear from us. This world will disappear from us. That's the first stage after death. Then think about it. What challenge and examinations are going to... We're just enjoying life here. Three things. Chapati, breads, house, clothes, this, X, Y, Z, money, currency, nothing else. 24 hours a day, we're just running, counting things, counting things. Is this the case or not? Tell me. The whole world is doing this, running around counting wealth. The whole universe, mankind, is just counting assets. Murder for this, disputes for this, fighting for this, relationships finished with this. All of our life, murder, disputes, quarrel, enmity on this one commodity. Money, wealth. Oh, he's taken my wealth. He took this. He took my shop. Oh, he took my mal. He didn't take my stock. Phoning, messages. Every second the human being's wrapped up in this anxiety. Now look at the first stage after death. Listen to the wali Allah said, in this world there's no challenges. Babu, the tests are to come. My Sheikh said, don't we know about this? So the first test that will come when we pass away, what's that? Each and everything when we die, our clothes will be the first when we die. First the clothes come off, your watch comes off, your items are taken, your jewelry, your watch, your phones, everything will be taken from you when you die. Is there anything left on the body, my friends, when a person dies? Then how treacherous is this world that we put our heart, attached our hearts to this world so much? So treacherous is this world. MashaAllah, we made a verse today. How treacherous is this world to whom we give the heart? Inshallah, we'll make the nazm on this verse. How treacherous is this world to which we attach the heart? How treacherous is this world for which we give our whole heart and we fight over? Tell me, my friends, the dunya should help us when we have problems. They run away, people run away. People we know so long, they love us, and relatives, and where do they go? They just take us till the grave. Imagine how much would they help us after that. The people who love us, who know us, who have affection, why do they go to the grave? Okay, we'll put some soil on top of him so he can't get out. Allahu Akbar. Think about it. Let's go take him to the grave and lower him and put the soil onto him so he doesn't get out afterwards. This is the love of the world for us. This is the reality. So look at the first stage after death. How treacherous. Then what will be the second stage in the grave? What will happen after that when we come out of the grave? And these stages will happen to me. Me. After I pass from this world, they will happen to you, each and every you. You will have prayed janazah somewhere yesterday, last week, or we did recently. Everyone's going. Everybody's departing. So what will be of benefit? Dhikrullah will benefit us. Dhikrullah. Yeah, that will help us. Where will dhikrullah help us? And the first stage, dhikrullah will help you and me at the time of death, even before we die. Everyone will leave us while we're dying, and the people who did dhikr in this world will be laughing while they're dying, smiling. Second stage, which people are afraid of, the soil is dug out, they make a ditch for that person who dies. Second stage, the people who do dhikr, when they get to the grave, there will be carpets, lush carpets, a portion of paradise will be in his grave, who did dhikr in this world. Tell me. In other words, every stage he will go higher in the ranks, the dhakir. Why? Because he listened to Allah's advice. Not this, that he does dhikr. Oh, he was scared. I'm doing sins, I'll leave dhikr. No, he knew that person. That sin, dhikrullah is the force that will detach me from the sins. Today, dhikr makes me understand and accept the definition of sin. At least I'm aware that person who didn't even believe or accept it was sin. And those people who cut the beard, ask him, is there sin? Oh no, it's not sin, I'm cutting the beard. Thousands you'll see who do this action. They'll never accept it's a sin. And imitate those people who have no iman, ask them that your face and clothes, is it a sin? No, it's not a sin. That's why they do it. But the person who realizes it, ask him, he says, you can take my life, but I will not do those actions. He will never imitate. Never, because he's got that awareness. So what a big difference in his understanding and his understanding. Who developed that? Dhikrullah developed that understanding. Dhikrullah. Understand what I'm saying? And when the fikr concern is developed, this is a big sin, I'm cutting my beard, trimming my beard. The Prophet ordered 124,000 prophets their sunnah, the noble companion sahaba their sunnah, tabeen. And the Prophet said, "Ma laysa minni, fa laysa minni," I have no link with that person who cuts off my sunnah, who leaves my sunnah. And those who they imitate about him, Rasul said, "Fatashabba biqawmin minhum." Allah, "Man tashabba biqawmin fa huwa minhum." You will rise with those who you imitate. No salah will be of help for you. I recited kalama, I did this action, worship. Allah will say, who did you imitate? Yeah? Did you not read this verse, this hadith? 50 times in the day, Allah said, you read this verse in the surah Fatiha. 50 times. Allah says, salah, I made you read this verse. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمُ الْدَّالِينَ. Did you say this or not in salah? Then, why did you do opposite to Allah says? Oh, just Allah. I don't know, what would people say? Allah says, go back to the dunya then. Get the help from them. That dunya, for whose sake you left Allah, and you wanted to listen to the words. Why have you come to me then, Allah will say? Why have you come to me? Qabr, the grave, we don't realize now. Yes, but those people, why do the people cry? Yes, they don't have any sense for what's going on. Why? Because right now inside you have a sense, awareness. How do you develop that? You haven't done that action for which Allah says, do this action, then you can develop the awareness against the sins. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying up to now. So, dhikr Allah is a one action that as soon as a person, the most sinful person, when he gets to Allah, and that's, remember, when you get dhikrullah as an action, until you do not go to a wali Allah's company, then you will not learn dhikrullah. Dhikr is taught by a wali Allah, friend of Allah, a sheikh who has the ability. That's why I said, Hazrat Sahib, my respected sheikh, I'm remembering him today, that my life started that day when I put my hand in the hand of my sheikh, Hazrat Sahib. That's when I was born. That's when my life started. I used to pray salah before the Umrah, pilgrimage, everything. What was that? There was a hole, a crack, and all my deeds were going through that crack. Allah's grace on me, that Allah, Hazrat Sahib's company made me so wealthy for the hereafter. This is the glory of the walis of Allah. So can anyone forget the favor of a wali Allah, the friend of Allah, the sheikh? Tell me, what did he teach me? Nothing else. I tell you, the first thing, few times the Hazrat Sahib didn't order me to shun any sin, leave any sin. He gave me dhikrullah, my sheikh. And he said, okay, you can go. Go and do this dhikr, he said. Dhikr, don't leave it, he said to me. Just like Allah has said to you, such a great learning. Just like salah, that pray salah regularly. Salah after praying salah, Allah said, has Allah not told us the method to pray salah? Fajr, this many rakat, zohr this way, asr this way. You can't have a day off praying salah, or pray isha tomorrow and this prayer next day. No, Allah's told us when to pray, how to pray. So if dhikr, Allah Ta'ala says, will preserve your salah, then will Allah not have told us the method how to do dhikr? Oh, I do dhikr. Okay, you do dhikr, or I pray salah, but you pray salah. How do you pray salah? In that tariqah, the way it's being prescribed to you? When it's zuhr time, do you pray the rak'ah of asr? No, I pray when I feel like it. I pray salah, you know, just pray here and there. Is that person's salah accepted? Is it fulfilled? Tell me. It's not, is it? If he does what he wants to do. So dhikr of Allah equals dhikr that Allah Ta'ala has prescribed in the Quran, that do dhikr in this way. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira. First thing Allah says is that you have to do dhikr in abundance. Dhikr in abundance. What's the first point in this verse? How do you have to do dhikr? Dhikran kathira, in abundance. Wasabbihuhu bukratan wasila. Then Allah says, morning you have to do dhikr and evening. These two times in the day you must do dhikr, Allah says. Remember, at that time don't do anything else. No other ibadah, no worship, no other action. Okay, after fajr, is there any nafil that you have to pray? Tell me. Can you pray any nafil salah until the sun rises in Hanafi fiqh? Is there? Can you pray any salah in Hanafi fiqh? Can you pray nafil after fajr? Fard, this thought just came in my mind. Why? For this reason, Allah says, I want you, I'm giving you a special worship. Remember me at that time. When I tell you your ijazah, when you remember me, then you pray salah after that, then I'll give you a reward of one hajj and one umrah. Two rakah. But don't read anything in between. So Allah's given us the prescription formula, but a man doesn't do that. And he starts reading salah after fard, fajr. I'll do dhikr after first pray. Will he get benefit? No. Because Allah's given us the tarteeb, the mannerism. Say Subhanallah. So dhikr Allah, we must do the way Allah Ta'ala has formulated for us. How should we do it? First and foremost, go and reach to the company of a wali Allah. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. He's not a lion. He's not an animal. He's not going to eat you. He's a human being. Say, teacher, please teach me dhikr. According to your lifestyle and condition, he'll prescribe to you dhikr. The sheikh, he's a consultant. The sheikh is the consultant. He doesn't give the same medicine to every patient, does he? Like the doctor in the well. Yeah, well, does the doctor give the same? Does he say, are you allergic to penicillin? Doesn't he, the doctor in the well? Are you allergic to anything else? Have any allergies? What's your diet? Then he gives antibiotic. Yes, if he gives him this antibiotic, the same to everyone, he'll say, why didn't you ask him questions? So, have you got any allergy? Have you got any restrictions? He goes, okay, prescribe penicillin to that person. Isn't it? So when you go to the sheikh, he'll ask you that, are you an allergy to any actions? What sins do you commit? What's your lifestyle? Where do you live? Okay, you go and do dhikr in this way, this much. Say Subhanallah. So only that person will benefit from this. Only that person who has this understanding that sins are destroying me and my sins can never be eliminated. My position is that I don't even accept the sin as a sin today. I swear at people, I don't think it's a sin. I do backbiting, I don't think it's a sin. I do zina with my eyes, adultery, I don't think it's a sin. I lie with my tongue, I don't think it's a sin. No, it's a minor, yaar, what's wrong with it? Oh, Ali said this, Ali said I'm not home. A phone call came from somebody, oh, tell him I'm not home. Somebody asked, is he at home today? I said, tell him I'm not home. He said this to me, Allahu Akbar, what are you reading? You prayed nafal. At that time, you're lying on top and you have no awareness of the sin. When this awareness is eliminated from a human being of sin, then he's not the human being. And when he starts doing dhikrullah, the first development within that person, he's aware and he recognizes and accepts the sin, that this is wrong. So understand that we are doing dhikr properly if that awareness comes. First we used to leave salah, I'll pray later. But when you start doing dhikrullah, then when you leave salah, you are ashamed. You're aware, you're leaving it maybe still. But don't think that dhikr is not benefiting you. For sure, dhikr definitely according to your circumstances is helping you. Then eventually that same dhikr will develop into such a human being. That sin that you used to embrace and love. Subhanallah, you will feel the enjoyment when you shun and disregard that sin after that. You get rid of that sin, then you'll be happy. That's the transformation. So dhikr is a massive action. Wala dhikrullahi akbar, Allah says. That same person will be walking into paradise, laughing and smiling. That person used to lie and he used to backbite. He said, what difference does it make if I lie or backbite if I don't pray salah? What difference does it make if I don't pray salah in the masjid? So what? If I shave the beard, cut the beard? So what if I trim the beard? So what, yaar? So what if I'm imitating other people and I'm praying salah like that, my face is like that? What difference does it make, yaar? Don't make a big deal. He doesn't know his hal. As soon as he goes to a sheikh, waliyallah, and sits with him, then his awareness starts to develop. And he accepts that this is wrong. At least he accepts this is wrong. Why? Because dhikrullah hadith gives power. It gives a light to that person. Gives him determination. Gives him courage. And it pushes him. It shoves him. You can pick this up. The most dirty and dirty of human beings. And the most, you could say, take the two examples. Worst sinner and the person who practices the most. I'll give you a unique example. I'll give you the example of Allah's Quran. Not my example. Those people, let's take one person who's worshipping and take the most dirtiest of people, sinful. But he does dhikr of Allah and he starts doing dhikr of Allah and the other person does do dhikr, then you will start to see the difference in the two. You will see he's doing our deeds due to showing off, pretense and haughtiness. But when that sinful person, when he gets development, that he starts to leave and try to leave the sins, I'm doing amal, but I shouldn't be showing off. I shouldn't have a big head. I shouldn't have pride inside me. Is this not the case? Then you'll see the difference. Oh no, yaar, I shouldn't do this. This is wrong. Today I've got a chance to pray salah. At least I should pray salah properly, yaar. But the other person who doesn't do dhikrullah, he thinks I'm pious, I'm high grade, I'm righteous, I'm the best, and other people are below me. So what's the difference between the two? When the first person does dhikrullah, the sinful person, why? Because according to Allah's advice, he starts to practice his life. He's dirty, he's sinful, picks up the tasbih, gets to the wali Allah's company, not today, not tomorrow, not next week. Eventually, falling, tripping, falling, stumbling, he gets to the destination. And such a human being should never be scared, get frustrated, never lose hope. Sa'im Mashkura, Allah says, I'm telling you myself, keep trying, whatever hal you die in. But if you die in that state while you're trying, make an effort, then your Lord will forgive you. Your Lord will forgive you. You understand what I'm saying? How should we do this? Dhikr, remembrance of Allah, the way Allah has formulated it and prescribed it to us. There are two times Allah has given. No, do any other action at that time. What should we do morning and evening? Dhikrullah, morning and evening. Don't get stuck in any other action, no other task. You know, he runs, just like you run to salah, pray salah, you have time, don't go to work, don't have to open your shop. Sit down there, sit down. 5 minutes, you got 10 minutes. Allah's promise, you are completing Allah's promise. You got 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Then start your day with this action. Will we do this, brothers? Inshallah. Don't follow your desires and choice. Follow Allah's selection and choice. Then your deeds will have a beautiful effect. Just like when you pray salah in the masjid of Allah, then the salah. Oh, I've got a lot of time, yaar. Fajr salah, Allahu Akbar. And I pray long, 2 rakats. Then I go to sleep in bed, I pray salah. Is your fajr being completed? No, it's still a few hours left. No, your salah is not fulfilled. Shaitan puts you in this good mood and gives you this false hope. And he encourages you to do things wrong. Though, yaar, it's early morning now. I can't wake up. It's Fajr time now started. I'll pray 2 rakah now. Surah Yasin in first rakah, Surah Rahman in second rakah. I'll nice karat, beautiful salah. Then I'll sleep in my bed nicely. Fajr salah, pray day. I don't have to go to the masjid. Is the salah accepted? And in comparison to that, you come Fajr salah, just recite Surah Ikhlas. And what will be your rank at that time? Why? Because according to Allah's order, you're praying the way Allah wants you to at that right time in the right place. Yes, Allah says, remember me in the morning. And sometimes you come here, you pray salah. And then after that, Allah has not said before or after, pray Fajr salah, the right time, and sit down, Allah says, in my remembrance. And look at the sun when it rises. Then you have fulfilled my promise, my requirement. Then come and get the reward from me, Allah says. Now what's the reason in this? What is Allah's wisdom? Then this, Allah knows best what is the wisdom and what are the rewards and the treasures and the blessings of doing dhikr at this time, morning and evening. Allah knows. Just like Fajr time, praying Fajr salah at the time of Fajr, the way Allah said, what mercies and blessings are there? Allah knows best. Now, no action of the world at that time you have permission to do. When it's Fajr call comes, then it's Fajr only you can do at that time. No fighting, no expedition in Allah's name, no sadaqah, no zakah, no hajj, no umrah. Why? Fajr time, you can only have Fajr salah, 2 rakah. No other action can compare. So will we do any other action at that time? Will you? Tell me. That's what, we're very solid in that, staunch. So when Allah is saying, remember me in the morning, why are we weak in that? Because shaitan says, because we don't do dhikr. So the importance of dhikr and sins is eliminated. We don't consider sin a sin. And we don't consider dhikr in the morning as dhikr in the morning. Say subhanallah. So am I saying the right things or not? Tell me. Am I saying the right things or not? Tell me. Do you understand what I'm saying up to now, everybody? Whoever understands, put your hand up. If you understand what I'm saying. MashaAllah. This is deen. Allah sat us down, assembled us in a gathering. What a great religion we understand. Put your hands down, mashallah. Thank you. Jazakallah. So now we understand that the biggest action that Allah has given for the most sinful of persons is dhikrullah. For the most sinful. Today we've understood why we told it's the soul and the spirit of every action. Why? I'll repeat. Why is it the soul of every deed? Because this deed of dhikrullah saves us from sin. And sin will burn and eliminate our good deeds. That's why dhikrullah is the soul, the spirit of every righteous deed, of every amal. Understand what I'm saying up to now? And at that time, Allah has prescribed an action in ibadah. At that specific time, that ibadah is great. So Fajr salah, you can't stand and do maraqabah. Though maraqabah is a great action, but salah at that time is the greatest deed at the time of Fajr. What's great at that time? Salah at the time of salah. I'll give you an example. That, for example, if you say I give you a check, a £1 million check, if I write out for you, how much is the check written out for? Oh, with enjoyment. You say 1 million with enjoyment. So if we give you a check with 1 million, yeah? Yes, you've got a high quantity written on it. It's a big amount, isn't it? Big value. Now, if for you, what is that? That you want to hide that check. Okay? So to hide that check, you'll find a place, the bank. And you are going to deposit that check in the bank. So is the bank bigger or is the amount bigger? Tell me. What is it? It is your amount. The bank is the place where it's hidden. Understand what I'm saying? It's the amount that's bigger. The bank is the place where you hide it. So big is salah. It's not dhikr at that time. Because dhikrullah is like the bank at that time. And the wealth is the salah. The wealth is the salah. So this wealth of salah to protect a safeguard, Allah has given us dhikrullah, that through dhikrullah, your salah will be protected. So, do you understand now? Oh, the people of dhikr say, leave dhikr, salah and do dhikr. We don't say that. Do you understand the point? Do you understand the example? You don't understand the example. So, that's the answer I've told you as well. That if someone says this, then give him this answer. The foolish person, dhikrullah is what protects and safeguards. The bank safeguards your check. The valuable thing is the 1 million check that you are protecting by depositing in the bank. So dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah, is protecting your amal, the value, salah, fasting, hajj, zakat. These are valuable. Valuable. And we'll get rewards due to those righteous deeds. And the thawab we will get when we protect these deeds. And dhikr will protect these deeds and safeguard them. And it will safeguard our valuable treasure of our deeds. And the people who don't do dhikr, then shaitan loots and steals. He makes you lie, backbite, do banditry, criminal actions, mixes haram, and he destroys all your good deeds. But those who do dhikrullah, they are protected. They're protecting their righteous deeds and their amal ongoing. Understand what I'm saying? That's why we do dhikrullah. So how important is the action of dhikrullah? So how do we do it? Not according to your desires and choice and selection. You must combine it with salah. To save your fajr salah, then Allah Ta'ala says, I put dhikr after fajr up to ishraq. Subhanallah. So we pray salah is so valuable an action. These two rakah, my friends, of fajr salah. So valuable, so much treasure embedded in the two rakah fajr of salah. The shaitan, he starts to cry. How did he become so rich? He got up after the night, got out of his mattress, and he did wudu. He was sleeping, snoring. How did he get out of his bed? And he stood up to pray two rakah salah fajr. So many rewards Allah has given. He knows the rewards. And Allah has given him stacks and mountains of wealth for these two rakah. I'm not going to leave this person, shaitan says. Allah says, okay, I'll give them an amal. Allah gives us an amal. And so Allah combined it with what? Dhikrullah. Allah gave us dhikrullah. So the rakat that we are praying in the morning and we do dhikr on top of that, then such a great treasure, alhamdulillah, you've safeguarded it. You've deposited into the treasure of safe, of the safe. Allah says, on top of that, give him one hajj, one umrah, thawab, reward. Understand what I'm saying? Give the reward on top of that. And those say, no, I've prayed salah. And they run away like that. And 3 minutes, shaitan loses them. He look a beautiful lady outside, woman. Ooh, then he looks at her again. Oh, your salah is gone. Oh, you just committed a sin. So that's enough for shaitan to loot and steal the action. Or you'll show you an advert of a naked woman. Many adverts around us, popping up in front of us. They'll show us some other dirty scene. 3 minutes it takes shaitan to complete his plan. And he'll balance out your deeds with the sins. He'll make you lie or swear with your mouth. Or he'll make you talk nonsense. Or an enemy will come in front of you and you'll get angry with that enemy. Subhanallah. Dhikrullah protects the person. He doesn't have anger with his enemy. He'll remember, he'll think about forgiving his enemy. And he won't look at or want to look at dirty things because he's protecting his deeds. He wants to protect himself. Understand what I'm saying? Think, understand how fantastic after Fajr Salah to do dhikrullah. Then the amount Allah gives you tawfiq, sit down. Sit down 5 minutes, Allah gives, 10 minutes, Allah gives. As much as you can. If you don't make a schedule of life as a human being, you must make a program of life. A good, comfortable. Every man has a prayer, and I'll wake up in the morning, have breakfast, lunch, now I'll have 4 p.m. dinner. Someone says no. And you make a schedule of life. Another person, then his stomach gets used to that good schedule and he digests nicely as a good, comfortable life, healthy, and he'll feel hunger at those times. You'll see that, have experience. Yes? So when you get used to tea at a certain time, then you're used to it and you want tea at that time. Yes, then you have to drink at that time. You feel like it. I've made a habit. Then between salah, I've made a system that I'll drink coffee this time, or I'll do this action this time, I'll do this at this time. Then you get enjoyment, keep on eating, drinking, and keep on doing dhikrullah, because you've got a nice schedule. So ask people regularly, I'm a different type of sheikh. People come to me, I say, well, what time do you eat? He says, eating? I say, what do you eat at that time? He says, well, what a sheikh is he's asking? He's making a skid. I thought he'd talk about Jannah, hell, and he's talking about food and drink. What is this sheikh? What do you eat in the morning? Ask them. What's your breakfast? Ask. And you know, mashallah, great things you understand. Such people come, I get quite surprised when I look at them. That someone doesn't have breakfast, he doesn't know. He says, I just have almonds in the morning. Someone says, I have this. No plan, no schedule. If this is your tarteeb, then how will you make the tarteeb for goodness? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the human being has given a system of life, a way of life, a schedule, a plan, a program. Am I right or am I wrong? That we should follow. Your sheikh, mashallah, is an educated sheikh, mashallah. He's not illiterate. All 4 universities of the world I studied at. 4 universities. 4 universities I graduated from. Yeah? He says he knows psychology, he knows medicine, he knows engineering, he knows geology. Who is this person? People ask. So my brothers, everything, there's a schedule, a way, a program. We don't even know how to eat, when to eat. I asked one brother, what do you eat? He said, when I'm hungry, then I eat. I said, subhanAllah, is that what your program of life? That every man has his own pattern. Oh, when I'm hungry, then I eat. He says, have a tarteeb, have a schedule, along with your ibadat, worship, along. So have a system, physical, when to eat, when will you have, for example, then you'll enjoy when you have a coffee, and you'll have enjoyment when you drink and eat certain foods, and you'll have enjoyment when you eat ambala sweet, and you'll have enjoyment when you eat honey. These are all ni'mas and treasures Allah has given to us. So much enjoyment that 3-4 times I drink different teas at different times of the day. Yeah, I taste that. Yes, mashallah, I have a different time for green tea, different time for coffee in the day. Yes. And also, then I have another system that this time I'm going to do this much dhikr, then I'm going to do this action. So deen, religious actions run during the day with my food and drink. So much habit. Wallahi, I'm telling the truth now. My friends, my colleagues, so I'll tell you some points. Then in the morning, I read Quran in a specific way in the morning. In the morning time, I drink tea, when I drink tea in the morning. And believe me, at that time, I don't feel like doing anything with tea. I don't want to do any of the action. That I have to read Quran at that time with my tea. Why? Because when you make a schedule, a program, then the angels get used to that, the action you're doing. And it's a spiritual program that you're implementing. And there's no food. So when the tea, you put your ibadah, worship, then that tea, you'll get enjoyment. You won't drink anything else at that time. Until today, when I go outside, I ask forgiveness, I don't drink tea. The reason is that I have a system when I drink tea and when I don't. I have a schedule, a program. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. So regularly, you know, there are books that are written. You'll be amazed. There are only 5 minutes in the gap between the tea, I put a system. And at that time, I wrote that book. And on that, alhamdulillah, I started to assist and enable to write that. And mashallah, the books were written and recorded in those 5-10 minutes. No extra sitting, thinking, I need to do this and investigate. No, just have a system, a program when you do what actions. Everything, you'll get enjoyment. Simashkut, then you'll drink coffee, green tea, black tea, English tea as well you'll drink. I also drink English tea, black tea, green tea, coffee. I drink all of these drinks. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, I drink all these drinks. Look at this. And I eat sweets as well, mitai. I eat biscuits as well. And I eat dates as well. And all different sweets at different times. And with everything I eat and drink, I do different ibadah at those times. Worship. So unique system in Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Allah's nature, I love the nature of Allah, I've understood. That everything Allah you've given to him, you haven't created anything to be a waste. Be a dhakir, a person who remembers Allah and then nurtures and enjoys what Allah has given to him. A dhakir is always a dhakir. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So tarteeb, the program Allah has given to us, the timetable Allah has given to us, morning and evening, grab hold of these 2 times, morning and evening. Sometimes Allah announces, don't worry about in between. Allah says, according to my prescription you've practiced, then the rest of the day, I will help you, Allah says. What do we do? No, in the morning, I don't want to do dhikr Allah. I'll do dhikr, I'll take the tasbih when I want, and when I don't want to, don't do this ever. Go with the system Allah has given. Understand what I'm saying? So this is the dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah. Sins it will eliminate, dhikr of Allah will eliminate sins. Through the action of what? First, dhikr will make you aware and recognize that a sin is a sin. When you realize that this is dirty, it's impure, then your heart will feel, I need to leave this action. Then the second stage, the dhikr will give you the strength, the desire to leave the sin. Then the third stage, then the person feels or says, that Ya Rabbi, might as well get rid of this sin forever. Then he leaves that sin. He gets rid of it from his life. Then the fourth stage comes to that person's life. When he leaves the sin, then after that, what he does, that individual, what dhikr does, in the benefit, then it creates, instills a hate, a dislike for the action. That thing that person used to die for, like music. Then he used to die for music and he didn't do dhikr. And well, go straight away. Don't be scared. I do this, I do dhikr, but I still feel I want to hear music. I still feel I do this and that. Don't worry about it at the beginning. If you have to listen, listen. Yeah. Don't be scared. Don't run away from the deen. But if you're feeling the regret and the remorse, and someone says, I feel sweat that when I listen to music, I said, that's the effect. That when you're leaving that sin, even if he's done it afterwards, but he'll get sweat at that time that he's doing wrong. He's developing the awareness. Then again, his heart won't feel like he wants to do the sin. So this progression through the phases, dhikr of Allah, progressively takes the person through the stages of discarding the sin. But don't give up, because you've taken all of dhikr of Allah, then don't get scared, the sin will definitely go. Definitely, dhikrullah will extract and eliminate the sin for sure. For sure. Without sin, that sin, mashallah, if you cooperate with sin, and you embrace the sin, then that person's going to remember this, that you should not cooperate with sin ongoing. So what do we need to do to leave the sin? Always you need to do dhikr of Allah, even though you're doing dhikr at the same time, but that means you're not cooperating with the sin. The person who's doing dhikr of Allah and then he suddenly commits a sin, he's not cooperating with the sin. He doesn't believe it's good, but because he wants to leave the sin, he's doing dhikr of Allah, isn't it? He hasn't got the power yet though inside him of dhikr. So he tells the shaykh, then his teacher with the sin will give him another antibiotic, another medicine. He'll increase the strength, he'll put another tablet with it, another action with it. And the energy will increase in that student. When the energy gets stronger, alhamdulillah, then his awareness and his feeling will get stronger, and then he'll start to leave the sins. But it's nothing to be scared of. Why shouldn't you be scared? Because even if death comes in that state, then Allah gives a great news, I'm a skura, you are forgiven. For sure you are forgiven. So all of these rewards, why does that person get? Because he's doing dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah, according to Allah's prescription and formula and advice. Understand what I'm saying? So my friends, Allah's dhikr, grab hold of it strongly, firmly. The way Allah's told us to do dhikr, do it. If you get lazy, you don't feel like doing, then consider destruction is coming. If laziness is coming, your dhikr, destruction is coming. Why? Because sins will continue for sure. And you need to safeguard yourself. Don't be scared of the sins. Don't get put off of the sins. Don't go downhill due to the sins. Look, Allah Ta'ala's promise. Allah's promise that zikr of Allah gets rid of shaitan and gives you the strength to leave the sins. This is Allah's promise. Beautiful, makes a person strong and powerful. There's an event. It's written in the kitabs, in the books. Hazrat Junaid al-Baghdadi, Ramtullah, I think in Baghdad there was a person and he saw that person was walking around naked. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi saw a person walking around naked. It was a wali Allah. And they see that, they have the vision. He knew, he considered. And so he's shaitan. What are you doing, shaitan? Are you not ashamed? Walking around. These are all righteous, good people. And you're walking naked around them. What's your purpose, shaitan? And he knew that he was shaitan. He said, I'm walking around naked. Why? He said that there's so honorable people walking around in front of them. He said, which respectful people around me? Shaitan said. He laughed. He said, you're telling me these are respectful people that are walking around here, that you're saying I'm walking naked from? He said, I know them in the night, what sins they have made them do. I know what actions they've done in the night. Don't look at their faces, that they're nurani and illuminated. Big, big sins I enable them to do in hiding. Allah Ta'ala puts the veil in front of their deeds. Yeah? Are we like this? That maybe the veils and curtains Allah Ta'ala puts in front of us, in between our sins. So shaitan said, these people, he laughed at them. He said, these people, I'm walking around naked. What about, I don't care about these people. They're worse than me. They're bigger thieves than me. If I unravel their deeds in front of you. Yeah. He had no shame. He said, Junaid, if you want to see honorable, respectful people, I'll tell you where you'll find them. Shaitan saying this. Junaid said, where? He said, go to this masjid and look. Those respectful, honorable people that I can't go in front of them. They have destroyed me, they've melted me, like made me like water. Just like the ice melts and becomes water, they've made me melt like this. My body, they've destroyed it. They're so powerful and they've got so much energy, shaitan said. And they are the respectful, Hazrat Junaid said, who? He said, go. He thought, who can these people be powerful? Shaitan is telling me that they've melted him, shaitan, Hazrat Junaid, he thought. And that they have made him melt like the ice melts. And he ran and he saw a jamaat sat in the masjid, house of Allah, doing dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. They were poor, somewhat had a torn shirt, torn dhoti. And people think they're foolish, poor, poverty, beggars, wasting their time doing dhikrullah. So when Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi saw this, dhakirin, shaitan said, these are the respectful, honorable people. So these are the people on the day of resurrection Allah will announce. Did I not tell you this hadith in the beginning of our discussion today? On the day of judgment, 50,000 years long, people will be struggling. The stage will come in our life, isn't it? And there Allah will announce and call out, oh people, big people of palaces and kings and people with money in the world, you thought you were big shots. Come, let me show you today that who are the honorable and respectful people in my eyes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Ikram, who are those deserving of dignity and honor and majesty? On the day of judgment, Allah will call out on the plane of resurrection. Allah said, today I'll call and he'll remove the veil, the curtain, you could say, and show and demonstrate who those people are. And the people say, Allah, who are those people who are dignified and honorable? Allah say, I'll show you, these were the respectful people in the dunya. Today I will show you the splash and just the jolt of them, of their glamour. Allah, they'll say, Allah, who are those people? I said, those people who used to sit in my masjid and do my dhikr, remember me, Allah says. So do you do this? Then why are you lazy in this if you know this fact? Save it from today, we will not be lazy, inshallah. Do we say this to ourselves? Do we promise? What a great reward on the day of judgment, imagine. Whole life, in every action of life, be lazy, but don't be lazy with dhikr Allah. That's it. I'm telling you. Be lazy in anything in the world, but don't be lazy in dhikr Allah. Don't be lazy. You can never, that person will never fail if he has that principle of life. Never, inshallah, will he fail. So, Allah Ta'ala, He give all of us the tawfiq to do dhikr. Our children do tabligh, to your family folk, household do tabligh. Invite everyone nicely, gently, the way you think. Give them dawah. Invite them. Explain to them. Come, do dhikr of Allah. Sit for a short time. Sit for 5 minutes. Sit for 10 minutes. Sit in the dhikr of Allah. Do the dhikr of Allah. That's it. That's it. Invite them towards dhikr of Allah. And do dhikr at home. Like online we have dhikr, the gathering. Put it on your phones. And just sit down wherever you are and listen to dhikr. Wherever you are. Put it online. Nothing will happen. Dhikr is running. Because shaitan, he tries to buy you. When you want to do ibadah, then people get scared. No, I can't do it. It's too hard. You know, shaitan makes us scared of ibadah. Don't do anything else. Just put dhikr on at that time. Doesn't matter what you're doing. And the people say, who's this doing dhikr? What is this? What is this we're hearing? And I've seen households improve like this. That's why I'm telling you this. Just make a bit of effort, isn't it? So that we can give an answer to Allah. Allah, in this dirty era, we revived your dhikr in this way. Go home, and when it's time for dhikr, and it's written on the timetable online, morning time, evening time, and then just put the dhikr on, press the button, and put your device there. Allah's dhikr is so beloved that those people who are there around, they're listening, their heart will feel attracted to it. So beautiful is the dhikr that people will come visit the dhakir. Who is this person who is doing this dhikr? And say that, where's the dhikr hosted? Small children, mashallah, they come. You know when we do dhikr, then they pick up their finger and say, oh, here dhikr takes place, here dhikr takes place. When they walk past, I'm telling the truth here. Yeah? Yes? Mashallah, when they walk past there, then they say to their parents, that's the place, that's the masjid where they do dhikr. Sheikh Sahib does dhikr there. The children tell their parents. Such young children, they tell their parents. And we run away and shy away. Yes? So today if we awake when dhikr starts, Hasbunallah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, we recite at the same time. So happy the children are at that time, that we were awake at that time when you were doing dhikr in the morning. People tell me this. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. So this is the life, the program and schedule of life. Such a group of people will never die, and nobody can ever eliminate a group of people like this. No danger is there for people like this, in whose homes such children are born and raised up, and who are happy by doing dhikr. Today, when we listen to dhikr, oh, we heard dhikr today, it was so beautiful. Morning time early, their eyes open up in their beds, and they get enjoyment with the kalamat, the verses. I've seen this qawm, Allah Ta'ala creates people like this as well, children like this. And those who don't know anything, they get up, music's on the phone, the songs are singing in the phone when they get up in the mornings like this, evenings like this, children don't know, father doesn't know, mother don't know, nothing. There's a life like that as well. What's the difference? Why is there a big difference? Because we don't have the awareness of sin. We don't recognize the sins. We don't understand the sins. We don't accept the sins. Environmental influence. Yes, we say, oh, it's a minor, we don't care. So my brothers, okay, so alhamdulillah, time, very dangerous time is coming. Save yourself, save yourself, save your children. Wahid, one action that can save us, one action. From every fitna, confusion, even Dajjal, which is the biggest fitna that's coming, is here, is present. Only one thing will save us, dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. That's it. Otherwise, Dajjal, he will make everyone do sajda. 80,000 scholars will do sajda to him. Yeah, you can see that around you anyway. Yes, yes, our worship place is there. People are announcing from there. Yes, to other people, in favor of other people. This is a hadith of sahih. The hadith are present, they are truth. We can't ignore them, they'll become apparent and true and physical, and they are shown to us right now. So what's the protection we've done against it? Dhikrullah, make it in your lives. Dhikrullah. So the ijtama' we're going to have, alhamdulillah, the gathering, alhamdulillah, we have arrived to that time. Allah knows whether we arrive to that day or I get sick. Allah knows best about the human being. But this is not some minor gathering, the ijtama'. It's not some minor gathering. Yes? Yes, maybe due to dunyadari or worldly actions or some other reason. That, for example, you know me from a long time. You know me from a long time, isn't it? That I have, do I have a desire for fame or publicity or advertisements or announcement? You recognize someone after a few days, isn't it? At least a few years. You get to know someone. So there must be a big purpose behind this gathering we're holding, isn't it? This man isn't doing it for fame or thousands of pounds we spend, or I just want my name at the front. People might say this or think this, I don't know. But you know my nature and my habits. You know it fully well. So there must be a reason behind this ijtima, this annual gathering. It's not a minor gathering. It must be a big, massive reason that we're having this risk and this ijtima. Is it not the case? Yes. So what's the reason? There's a big reason behind having this gathering. Yes, there's Allah Ta'ala's strength behind this. Allah's hukam, order, that allows us to have this gathering. And we have a desperate need to have this gathering, this ijtima. We are desperately in need to have this gathering. People, so they have developed their awareness amongst the minds and hearts of people for doing dhikrullah. Otherwise, why should people come? Why would people come? It's cold, winter, why would be gathered here, sat here? No, Allah says, you announce and I will send the people, Allah says. Oh, people of Bolton, you stay awake and I will send the people to you, to host. Are you awake, all you people? Are you awake? Will you have determination? Yes. Ijtama, you must have courage, determination, work hard. Have a look. Allah will say, you call out and I will send the people in the dunya towards you. Allah Ta'ala says, I'll give you the number. These are the people on the day of judgment. Allah will say that they invited people to dhikrullah. They used to gather people, assemble people. No? Yes. So right now, you don't even have deception. We'll have to give money. Is anyone given any money nowadays? Is anyone given any money? You ask for money? Yeah? That why do you make your mind worry that we're not doing it for money or to make money? Remember this. This is Allah Ta'ala's great favor on us, mashallah. Great favor on us, He's given us this opportunity. We should accept that da'wah and have courage and determination. Those who arrive and serve them for the sake of Allah, do their khidmat. All night long, stay awake, serve them, help them. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala's team is coming. You are inviting Allah, sending them. You are announcing and Allah sends the dhakireen to you. Yes, Allah selected you in this town for this work. That today, in this day and age, in this era, which is the era of Mahdi alayhi salam. Mahdi alayhi salam's era is now. Dajjal is about to come and the fitnas have started, everything's around us. And this qawm Allah has selected, that mashallah, call people every year for dhikrullah. Understand what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying. Why? Because this is peace and satisfaction in this, Allah's oneness in this. It will save us from quarrels and fighting. This is the place of peace and contentment and satisfaction. They come to sukoon, aman, justice and fairness and brotherhood, so we can get understanding. Whoever doesn't have understanding, you are helping. And that, so the fighting and quarreling, that people can learn how to live amongst each other. This is the message of dhikrullah. Understand what I'm saying? That this is the message of Islam. Dhikrullah spreads the message of Islam. Stop fighting, quarreling, fasad, disorder, confusion in the dunya. And adopt the manner of sakina. Why do you destroy the world amongst each other? Allah says that you are the ones who want to bring qiyamah in the world. Allah says, I don't want destruction. So this is the message of dhikrullah. Peace. Brotherhood, love, mutual love, meeting each other, helping, doesn't matter which qawm, which background, which religion. Live amongst each other, and when the haq is there, it will overwhelm the batil. So you must eliminate the hatred, enmity. Don't hate anyone, don't look down at anyone, don't talk down at anyone, don't speak against anyone, don't look down at the places of worship of other people. Don't point fingers at other religions, you are wrong, I'm right. Leave it to Allah. You just practice the deen I've given, Allah says. So our message is the message of love. Spread it out. That's it. Spread the message of love. Spread the message of deen. The best way to spread the message of love is what? Dhikrullah. Dhikrullah. The Sufi tasawwuf teaches us this love. The tasawwuf and the Sufi practice, the tasawwuf never spreads hate and enmity. He spreads love. He'll always invite. Doesn't matter what religion, he will embrace that person, and the haq, the truth, automatically will go to that person. Never force anybody to come deen. Never say bad to anyone who is not practicing deen. Never hit anyone, crawl with them, fight with them, throw bombs on them, or say fire at them. No. Every action, every qawm, embrace them. Doesn't matter what religion they are. Sit them next to you. I saw in the khank of my sheikh the same. Shia came, Ahli Hadith come, Ghayr Muqallad come, Sunni comes, Deobandi is coming, Brelvi is coming. No one could dare to point the finger at anybody there. We used to stand and do sajda. The Shia there, someone said something. Hazrat Sahib said, what pain is he giving to you? Why? Just you do your ibadah. Yes, and I've seen people change there for the better. Because love is a great force. Yes, Sufi never hates anybody. If you are the true Sufi, then through dhikrullah, revive and spread the love amongst the people. The true Sufi does true dhikr to spread the love and not hatred. So this is, so mashallah, you have called out, and now Allah Ta'ala is sending people, Allah selected you. Though you don't hate anyone, you don't say anything against anyone's deen, no dislike, no hatred, no opposition. We just talk about what we're doing. We talk about our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We speak about his love, his practice, his deen, his lifestyle. We have no one's love for anyone else apart from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's what we should be. Whoever we eat from, then we repay that favor. Yes? Yes. Wherever you eat, then you repay the favor. So why are you running around looking for food somewhere else then? Anyhow. Good discussion today, alhamdulillah. May Allah give us the tawfiq ability to practice this. We've understood the importance of dhikr. I've explained to you, it's a great action, dhikrullah. So it's not just for reward we do dhikrullah, rather to protect our good deeds we do dhikrullah. That's the theme of the discussion today. Today's discussion, that's the essence summary of it. Recite Durood Sharif, let's do dhikrullah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المرسلين شهيدنا طه ياسين والأمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد نبي الأمي وأزواجه وأمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا وعمدنا كل ذلك إننا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا قاضي الحاجات اقت حاجاتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافي الامراض اشفع مرادنا يا شافي الامراض اشفع مرادنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفع مرادنا لندن سکھ سال ہیں زین صاحب سخت بیمار ہیں پاکستان سے کسی نے ان کے لیے دعا کے لیے کہا ہے دعا فرمائے اللہ پاک ان کو شفا کاملہ عاجل نصیب فرمائے اور اس بیماری پر عاجل نصیب فرمائے ایمان والی زندگی نصیب فرمائے یہ بیماری ان کے لیے باعث ایمان و باعث عمل بهتر ثابت ہوں. اللهم عافنا في بدني، اللهم عافنا في سمعي، اللهم عافنا في بصري، ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة عين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما، اللهم انبئهم كما ربياني صغيرا، اللهم انبئهم كما ربياني صغيرا، اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحجار منهم والأنبار برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.